Isaiah chapter 62. We have recently had the funeral for Evelyn, and she is in Emmanuel's land. And oh, how glorious that has to be. And I cannot imagine the joy that fills her soul now that she's with the Savior and she sees Him face to face. And she knows now personally that the Lamb of God is all the He's all the glory in Emmanuel's land. And we rejoice that she's with the Lord. And Brother Don's mother, Alice, also in the presence of our Savior and enjoying the bliss of seeing the Lamb of God and being with Him there in Emmanuel's land. Let's ask God to bless again, Lord, for all of Your mercies to us through Christ our Savior. We bow to give thanksgiving. We're thankful that You have given to us the Word of God, this accurate Word that You conveyed to over 40 writers, all who wrote over a period of 1,500 years. They all tell the story of God's saving grace to sinners through the Lord Jesus. We do rejoice in this glorious gospel of grace. We rejoice in our Savior. And we're so thankful that when Your people leave this world, they immediately enter into Emmanuel's land, there to be greeted by the Son of God Himself, who loved us and who gave Himself for us. Take away from us every fear, every fearful thought about dying if we're Your people, for Christ Jesus is our life. He said to us, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in Me shall never die. And these two sisters in the Lord Jesus had fallen asleep in the Savior. Evelyn's body committed to the earth just a few days ago. Alice McLean's body to be committed to the earth sometime later this week. But the soul has gone back to God. God who gave it. God who saved by His grace. Who saved through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. And oh, how thrilling beyond description is the joy of being in the presence of the King. We look forward to that day. Until then, Lord, keep us ever looking by faith to the Lord Jesus, resting in Him, knowing that by His righteousness we're received. By His bloody death our sins were put away. We stand before You even now, robed in the garments of salvation. This is Your work, O God. and we give you the glory. Bless now as we endeavor to sit before these who are gathered before me and those who are watching by way of the internet. Be with me as I try to set forth this glorious truth of believers and their crowns. Keep us faithful. Keep us believing. Keep us looking unto Jesus. Keep us resting in Him. And Lord, we know that all of this salvation is by Your free grace. So we thank You and we bless You and praise You. For Jesus' sake, amen. My subject this evening is believers and their crowns. But before I embark upon this subject, I felt it necessary to introduce my message with this glorious truth that is set before us in Isaiah chapter 62 and verse 3. Thou shalt also be a crown of glory. That is, he's speaking to believers. Thou shalt be a crown of glory in the hand of the Lord. He's speaking to Zion. We've learned that. We observed that when Bill read to us the first verse. Thou shalt be a crown of glory in the hand of the Lord, and a royal diadem in the hand of thy God. In this verse of Scripture, it is important for us to understand that all believers, all of the children of God, constitute the crown of Christ Jesus. We are His crown. We are His diadem in His hand. Who gets the crown? Who gets the diadem? The victor. The victor. And our Lord Jesus Christ, He has won the victory for all of His people. And He has saved us by His grace. He has redeemed us by His bloody sacrifice. And we are His crown. And we are His diadem in His hand. You see, what is the crown and the diadem of the Lord? Is it not His saving grace? That's His great honor. There's the honor, the glory that goes to our Lord due to creation. No question about that. The heavens declare the glory of God, is what the Scriptures say. And as we observe the hand of God in providence and in all of the things that happen every day, we say, oh, how great is our Lord. But His greatest, greatest glory is seen in the salvation of folks like you and me. That He would enter into this world and lay down His life for us. That He would save us by His grace. That He would be the substitute for us, for all of His people, that He would bear our sins in His own body on the tree, that He would redeem us from the hand of divine justice, that He would pay all of our indebtedness. This is to His great glory. And we are His crown. We are His diadem. That's what the verse says here. Thou shalt be a crown of glory in the hand of the Lord, and a royal diadem in the hand of thy God. And we're in His hand. That means safety. That means protection. That means preservation. The Savior said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one on this. I and my Father are in agreement on this. We hold all of our people, those chosen in the election of grace, those redeemed by the bloody death of our Savior, those regenerated by the Spirit of God, those preserved by grace and perfected by grace, the Lord says, they're safe in my hand. They're my crown of glory. And they are my diadem, my royal diadem, saith the Lord. When Moses, in the book of Exodus, chapter 34, when he said to the Lord, he said, Lord, would you show me your glory? And God said, I'll make my goodness pass before you, and I'll proclaim the name of the Lord. And I'll be merciful to whom I'll be merciful. I'll be gracious to whom I'll be gracious. That's His glory. God's great glory, His great honor, is in saving us. That's His great glory. This is magnificent. This is wonderful. It's certainly wonderful to us, but guess what? It's wonderful to the Lord. And He rejoices over our salvation. In fact, in Luke chapter 15, when the shepherd finds the lost sheep, he picks up the lost sheep, puts it on his shoulders, and he goes home rejoicing. He says, rejoice with me. I found the sheep that was lost. The woman finds the lost coin. She says, rejoice with me. Says to all of her neighbors, rejoice with me. I found that which was lost. And the father waits for the wayward son to come home. And the older son was so angry. And the father says, can't you rejoice with me? Can't you rejoice with me? The wayward has come home. This is our Lord's greatest glory, the salvation of sinners. And I'll tell you, if you would honor and glorify the Lord yourself, make much of what He does in redemption. Think about what God has done for you. Thank Him for it. This is His great glory. He saved us. He saved us by His grace. I said last week that salvation is everything that is required to bring a son or a daughter of Adam from the ruin of the fall to everlasting glory in heaven. He chose us unto salvation. He predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ Himself. He predestinated that we'd be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. He justified us by His grace. He justified us by His blood. He redeemed us. He sanctified us. He's our righteousness. He's our holiness. And He's our glorification. He's all things to His people. In this matter of salvation, from the bottom to the top, and everything in between, it's all of the Lord. It's all to His glory. That's the reason the Lord says of His people, you're a crown of glory in the hand of the Lord. You're a royal diadem in the hand of the Lord. It is our salvation that glorifies Him the most. Amen. Now, there are those who believe that we get to heaven by grace. But then our position in heaven, now that's determined by our works and by our service. And there's lots that I could say about that, but that doctrine, it promotes arrogance, it promotes pride and self-righteousness. When we get to heaven, if you're going to have a higher position than me, if you get more crowns than I'm going to get, or if you have more rewards, and I'll kind of bring back to your memory my message last Sunday evening about the reward of the believer. If you think that by your efforts and your works you're going to get more crowns and more rewards, That promotes self-righteousness and arrogance. And it's like a man going to heaven. He looks down on others who didn't serve the Lord as much as he did. And he struts around in heaven like a peacock. I did more than you did. I got more than you did too. You poor thing, you should have served the Lord like I did. Well, you know, that's not going to be the case. Because the salvation of the righteous is of the Lord. The doctrine embraced by many of different degrees of heaven has an obnoxious odor of works to it. And make no mistake about it, our works in and of themselves, because they come forth from a polluted fountain, they are in themselves obnoxious. There's an awful, awful stench about them. They just stink. They stink. That's why they got to go to Christ first. All thanksgiving, all service goes to our Lord Jesus, and He bathes it in His blood, and He perfumes it with His righteousness, and then He says, "Here, Father, you and I have never done anything that is fit for God to accept in and of itself. Nothing." And people forget that. They forget that. Somehow they think they do enough, they work a lot, they serve a lot, and therefore the Lord's going to say, "I'm going to give you more than others get because you labored more abundantly than others." Many years ago, I heard a so-called sovereign grace preacher, and I did hear him preach sovereign grace from time to time. I doubt any of you knew him. But you can ask me later and I'll tell you who it was. He's dead now. But he said in heaven there'll be many Christians who will be weeping all through eternity because they didn't serve the Lord faithfully like others did. And therefore, they're missing out on the rewards and the crowns that the Lord Jesus is going to pass out. That is a hideous, hideous thing. And I'll give you one verse of Scripture that just knocks all that kind of mess in the head. Turn to Revelation chapter 21. Revelation chapter 21. And look at verse 4. Revelation chapter 21 and verse 4. There are people who honestly believe that when we get to heaven, there'll be people who are going to be weeping and crying. This is going on. They're going to be so ashamed, so sad, because they didn't serve the Lord enough. And so therefore, they don't get the rewards that others get. They don't get the crowns that others get. But look at Revelation 21, verse 4. "And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away." Now you hear me. There will be no regrets in heaven. You understand? No regrets in heaven. The former things are passed away. In the book of Jeremiah, we read, "In that day, the sins of Israel and of Judah shall be sought for, and they shall not be found." Why not? Because they don't exist. The Lord said, your sins and your iniquities will I remember no more. He's not going to bring them up against you. Well, but we're going to go to the judgment and we're going to be judged for our sins. I beg your pardon. There's already been a judgment for our sins that took place in the crucified Christ. That's where our sins were judged. He died for our sins. I will in no way suffer any punishment There is nothing penal coming to me because the Lord Jesus has already been punished in my stead. And that which awaits me in heaven is everlasting glory. And if you have difficulty with that, you need to learn how to spell grace again. You just don't comprehend grace, the fullness of God's grace. Your position in heaven is not determined by what you do on earth. Your position in heaven is the reward for Christ's faithfulness, for His life, for His death, for His burial, for His resurrection. Your position is based on His merits. You don't have any.
Amen.
Now, if that's too much grace for you, that we're talking about that back in the men's meeting. Some people, they just... So I believe in sovereign grace, but we just believe in too much grace for it. This is just too much grace. Preacher, how much grace do you need? I need all grace. I need grace to lift me up out of the miry clay. I need grace that'll escort me all the way to glory with nothing ever dependent upon me. That's the grace of God. He'll wipe away all tears from our eyes. Your sin's not going to be brought up against you. I remember back in my Arminian days, I didn't know beans about the gospel. I was a youngster, then a teenager. And we had the president of a Bible college came, and he put all of his charts up, and he'd talk about going out to see the Lord. You don't want to be ashamed, do you? No, I don't want to be ashamed. Need to work for it. Need to work for it. And if you don't, you don't want to see Him at the judgment. You show me in the Word of God one scripture where any believer did not want to see the face of the Son of God or who was fearful of going before Him. I don't want to go. My life's been such a failure. Well, now, that leads me to say, who are you depending on for your salvation then? You? Yourself? Your works? Your labors? Your faithfulness? You see, this salvation is altogether in Christ Jesus. And if you really believe that, you'll want to see Him. You're not going to dread to go before Him. I don't have any dreads of seeing Him. I want to see Him. I've preached about Him. I've talked about Him. I've read about Him. I've instructed people about Him. I long to see Him. I'm not fearful of seeing Him. I'm not fearful of any judgment, are you? If you are fearful of standing before the Lord in His majesty, in His glory, then you got real problems, because there's a lack of understanding of God's full salvation that He's given to you by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Now, I would say this. I'll say this to serve the Lord with gladness. Yes. You come before His presence with singing and into His court with praise. Honor the Lord in your life. Absolutely. Absolutely. Always seek His glory. Labor for the cause of God in truth. We read in Romans chapter 12, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. But don't serve Him as a mercenary. Don't serve him as a hireling. Well, I'm going to serve him so I get more rewards when I get to heaven. I got news for you. If that's your attitude, you ain't going. You're not going to make it. God's going to have to give you a total change of heart. I'll tell you that. And I don't want to hear how much you've done for the Lord. I don't want to hear how busy you've been for the cause of God in truth. Sometimes people tell me, you know, I read my Bible. I want you to know, preacher, I read my Bible every day. Well, good for you. You got your reward, didn't you? Yeah, you tried to impress me, but I got news for you. You don't impress me. Then nobody down here impresses me. Because even if you do read the Word of God every day, and you should, that's a good thing to do. You pray, absolutely. But all of your worship is coming forth from a polluted fountain. You've got to keep that in mind. Got to. We're all pitiful servants. That's the truth. And all along our earthly journey, we weep over many things. We weep over our sins. But when we get to glory, the Lord's going to wipe away all of our sin, all of our tears. Back in my Arminian days, and I tell you, those grave clothes, they have a way of sticking to you. The stuff's kind of pounded into your brain so much. I hear preachers say, you'll be ashamed to see the Lord. No. I look forward to seeing Him. And I want to give you another passage of Scripture. Look at Ephesians 1. Look at Ephesians chapter 1. And this will also help each of us with this. Ephesians chapter 1. And look at verse 3. You say, well, I know this passage by heart. And I'm sure you do. This is a well-worn portion of Scripture to all of us who love sovereign grace. But look what it says. Look at verses 3 and 4. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. Now, I want to ask you, how many spiritual blessings were we blessed with in Jesus Christ before the world began? All of them. That's what your Bible said. All of them. All spiritual blessings. If words mean anything, this portion of Scripture is saying that every possible blessing, every possible honor that God could ever bestow upon anyone has already been bestowed in the Lord Jesus. You don't think God left anything out, do you? All spiritual blessings except those rewards and crowns that you got to work for and get. No. All spiritual blessings. That means my place in heaven, my position in heaven, it was given to me before the world began. All spiritual blessings. If I have all spiritual blessings, and you have all spiritual blessings, then there are no different degrees or levels of rewards or crowns in glory. And I'll tell you a good rule to live by. People every once in a while say, I wish you'd tell us how to live. Listen up. I don't tell you very often, but I'm going to tell you how to live. See if you can handle this. Love Christ Jesus and live as you will. What? Love Christ Jesus and live as you will. Because you see, if you love the Savior, the love of Christ constrains us. to worship, to be thankful, to honor Him. Yes, indeed. Well, go to the book of Revelation. Now, let me get right down to a few things I want to share with you about the believer and its crowns. Revelation chapter 4. And I'm not going to read all of this because we read all of this last Lord's Day evening. But Revelation chapter 4 and verse 4. John has seen the throne of God. Now look at verse 4. And round about that throne of God were 24 seats, or smaller thrones. And upon these seats I saw 24 elders sitting. Who are these 24 elders? Well, most believe, most who understand the gospel believe, that these are a representative group, the 12 from the Old Testament, 12 sons of Jacob, and 12 apostles from the New Testament, that these constitute all of the people of God of all ages. Here all of us are. You say, well, what makes you think that? Because in the very next chapter, look over in chapter 5. Look at chapter 5. In verse 8, Christ has taken the book of predestination. Verse 8, and when he had taken the book, the four beast preachers and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, every one of them having harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and open the seals thereof. Now remember, these are the 24 elders. For thou wast slain, the word is slaughtered, and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood, watch this, out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. So these 24 elders back over here in chapter 4, who are seated on their thrones, these are all the people of God gathered together. Now watch this. I saw them sitting clothed in white raiment, and they had on their heads crowns of gold. Crowns of gold. Now look down at verse 10. And the 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne and worship him that liveth forever and ever. And here's what they do with those crowns. They cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive honor and glory, honor and power, glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. These 24 elders represent all the people of God from the Old Testament and the New Testament. Every throne is occupied, plenty of room in heaven, but no empty seats. Notice they're all clothed with white raiment. That's the righteousness of the Lord Jesus. And it says they all worship the Lamb who shed His blood. They're all redeemed. They're the redeemed of the Lord. And they're all around the throne of the Lord. Look at verse 4 again. And round about the throne of the Lamb. That which occupied John's attention, grabbed his attention right from the get-go when the Lord took him up and showed him this vision, was the very throne of God and of the Lamb. And all around the throne are these 24 seats. Here are the elders. They're all around the throne, none nearer than others. Well, now, surely, Jim, surely, the Apostle Paul, who suffered so much, founded churches, preached everywhere, shipwrecked, beaten, imprisoned, finally lost his head for the Lord Jesus, now, surely, he's going to be nearer to the throne of God than that thief you preached on last Sunday, who was saved by the marvelous, sovereign, omnipotent grace of God at the very last moment of life. No, Paul's not going to be any nearer to the throne of God than the thief. No nearer than the Philippian jailer. You see, they're all around the throne. Did you know there's a denomination, and they profess to believe sovereign grace, and some of them believe that those who go out into eternity, people of God, who haven't been very faithful to the Lord, they're actually going to be in darkness looking in on the New Jerusalem and the joy in Christ Jesus, and they're going to be in the dark saying, "Man, I wish I'd been more faithful." There's actually a denomination that believes that garbage. They have no idea of the efficacy of the blood of Jesus Christ, the power of the grace of God. These are all around the throne. They're seated there. Oh, they're secure. And they have on their heads crowns of gold. None without crowns. According to the revelation given us in Holy Scripture, all the people of God have crowns of gold on their heads in the beginning of heaven's glory. Don't tell me there will be people of God in heaven who won't be wearing crowns or have crowns. And they all cast their crowns before the throne. Now, I'm going to give you these crowns. I can give them to you briefly. But before I do, I want to ask you a question, and you have to answer to yourself. And this is especially for anybody who might be having difficulty with what I said last week about a believer and the reward, and believer in crowns tonight. If you're having difficulty with this, let me ask you a question. I don't want you to answer me. I just want you to answer yourself. Do you really want the Lord to reward you or give you crowns upon the basis of your service to Him? Is that really what you want? I assure you of this. Any service, any work you've ever done for the Lord is a polluted work. It's a polluted service due to your original sin. So I've done some works for the Lord. Do you do them perfectly? And listen, it's got to be perfect to be accepted. And there are no degrees of perfection. No degrees of perfection. You've never done a perfect work. You've never spoken a perfect word. You've never had a perfect thought. You've never had a perfect motive. That is just the truth. Now, if you want God to reward you for all of your imperfections, you can go ahead and think that way. But I don't want Him to reward me for anything I've ever done. I want Him to reward me, I'll say this carefully, for the faithfulness and the obedience of my elder brother who lived for me, who died for me, who arose for me, and who ascended for me. Now let me show you these crowns. I can give them to you quickly. First of all, Revelation chapter 2. Won't take me long. Revelation chapter 2. Look at verse 10. This is the Lord speaking to the church at Smyrna. This is also found, if you're taking notes, in James 1 and verse 12. Revelation 2:10. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried. And ye shall have tribulation 10 days. You're going to have a tough time. Be faithful unto death. You keep on believing. You keep on believing the gospel. I give you a crown of life. You keep on believing. I'll give you a crown of life. What is this faithfulness? It's continual belief and confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, true faith doesn't quit. Oh, it gets discouraged and sometimes grows weak. But those who forsake the Savior altogether, they never had true faith to begin with. The righteous, Job said, Job 17:9, shall hold on their way. See, true faith doesn't stop believing, because faith is a gift of God. He keeps on giving. You be faithful to death, I give you a crown of life. That's all of God's people. You see, all of God's people keep on believing. Keep on believing. Here's the second one, 2 Timothy chapter 4. I told you I'd get into you pretty quick. Takes longer for me to give you the introduction than it does to go through these crowns. Here in 2 Timothy chapter 4, here's a crown of righteousness. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Look at verse 6. Paul says, "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day." Well, I can understand why I would give that to Paul. Now, wait a minute. He's not finished. He says, "And not to me only." What? Not to this great apostle only, but unto all them who love His appearing. Are there any of the children of God that don't love the appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ? We love His first appearing. That's when He saved us by His grace, by His bloody death. And we love His second appearing. The Lord Jesus said, "Behold, I come quickly," and all the church of God says, and John speaks for us, "Even so come, Lord Jesus." I'd like for Him to come tonight. Come back. Come back. Take me out of this sinful body. Take me out of this mess. Take us all home to be with You, where we can worship and praise You and thank You perfectly. Because that's what we want to do. We want to be with the Lord Jesus. He gives this crown of righteousness to all who love His appearing. Why is it called a crown of righteousness? Because of the One who merited this righteousness and who established this righteousness by His obedience unto death, even the death of the cross. He is our righteousness. Thirdly, look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, just a few pages over. Here's a crown of rejoicing. We all going to get this one too. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 19. This is Paul. He's thankful to the Lord because the Lord used him in preaching the gospel, and so many in Thessalonica were saved by the grace of God. He says, "What is our hope?" Verse 19, chapter 2. "Or joy, or crown of rejoicing. Are not even you in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at His coming?" What is this crown of rejoicing? All who desire to see others believing and resting in the Lord Jesus Christ. I know all of God's people want that. We want people to believe. We want people to be saved by the grace of God. We pray to that end. We're going to have a crown of rejoicing. And then here's the fourth in 1 Corinthians 9:25, an incorruptible crown. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Look at verse 25. "And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain the corruptible crown. But we and incorruptible crown. This is an incorruptible crown, the crown that the Lord gives us because we keep on going. Even though we get discouraged, we have seasons of spiritual lukewarmness, but we don't stop. We don't quit the gospel. We don't grow tired of hearing the truth of Christ and Him crucified. The message of the gospel is not outdated to us. And so He gives us this crown. And then 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 4. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 4. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. This is a crown of glory that's given to everybody who's united to the Lord Jesus Christ. When Christ comes, we shall be like Him. We shall see Him as He is. Remember what the Savior said in His high priestly prayer in John 17, "The glory which Thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one." The Lord's going to give us a crown of glory. So there they are. Crown of life, righteousness, rejoicing, incorruptible, and crown of glory. We'll cast all those crowns at His feet. Because all of this, life, righteousness, our rejoicing in Him, the incorruptible crown, the crown of glory, it's all due to Him. And so we cast them at His feet. Now, I have one more thing to give you. I want you to go back to the book of Isaiah, chapter, this time chapter 28. Let me see if I can. I'm going to give you a bookend. Yeah, you know, a lot of times in a message, you have the first bookend at the beginning, and then at the end you have the second bookend. So you got, here are bookends to put all of this together. Isaiah 28. I said in the beginning, right from the start of the message, from that portion in Isaiah that Bill read to us, I said that all of the children of God, all of the chosen, justified, redeemed, regenerated, preserved, and glorified sinners, we're the Lord's crown and the royal diadem in His hand. Now look at chapter 28 and verse 5. In that day shall the Lord of hosts be for a crown of glory and for a diadem of beauty under the residue, under the elect, under the remnant of His people. All of the Lord's children have Christ the Lord, and He is the crown. He is the diadem. He's the royal diadem. Isn't that interesting? Let me put them together. We are His crown. We are His diadem. And He is our crown. And He's our diadem. Don't you understand that all who somehow still think the more you do for the Lord, the more you'll get, that's just not so. It's just not so. All we want is Christ Jesus. He's all we want. Isn't that right? He's all we want. And when we have Him, we have all the crowns. Because you see, really, all of those crowns that I mentioned, life, righteousness, rejoicing, incorruptible, and glory, they're all in Him. You have Christ Jesus. You got the crown. And you got the diadem. And God can't give you any more than His Son. And I'll tell you, for all of His people, that's surely enough. That's enough to last us forever to worship King Jesus.
Amen.
the basis for our acceptance into everlasting glory and our position there is not left to our works, which at best are marred by sin. Our position in glory is all due to grace, the grace of God given to us in Christ Jesus. Well, hope that'll help you some. To God be the glory, great things He hath done. Let's close in prayer. We thank You, Father, for all that You've done for us unworthy, miserable, pitiful sinners through the Lord Jesus Christ. The biography of every one of Your children reads the same. Saved by grace. Bought by blood. Robed in righteousness, not our own, but the righteousness of the Lord, our righteousness, Jehovah Tsidkenu. And that name by which He is called, the Lord, our righteousness, bless the name of God. That's our name. All of the ransomed of the Lord are named the Lord, our righteousness. We want no more than Christ the Lord. And that will be glory for us to see Him and be with Him and acknowledge that all that we are before God, standing before Him in righteousness, in holiness, and in beauty, is all due to the grace of God given us in Christ Jesus. Bless the word, give to all of us understanding, and may we go away rejoicing in our Lord Jesus Christ. In His name, amen.